The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
If the name sounds familiar, Shabbos Kestenbaum, then you may remember him from the RNC, where he took the stage, and as well, just this past weekend here in Pennsylvania.
In 1790, President George Washington addressed the Jewish community in Newport, Rhode Island. And he told them that here in the United States, bigotry would be given no sanction and persecution no assistance. Since arriving in 1654, we Jewish Americans have fought and died for this country. We have participated in all areas of civic life, and we have pursued life, liberty, and happiness. We Jewish Americans are not guests in this country. We Jewish Americans are part of this country.
So that was this weekend at the great rally, and Shabbos joins me now. You were awesome at the rally, got huge applause. Although when you started at some point and you said, don't hold this again, the crowd got a little quiet, but you definitely won them over. Welcome in.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And yes, I did say, you know, don't hold it against me, but I'm a Democrat, but don't worry, I'm voting for Trump. And look, the message I've been trying to say, not just to registered Democrats, but really to the Jewish American community who typically only vote for the Democratic Party, is we did not abandon the party. The party abandoned us. And it's time that we take our political loyalties elsewhere.
So we first got to know you as you are a plaintiff in the Harvard discrimination suit and a former Bernie Sanders supporter, right?
Yes.
So this is, take me through, if you would, your journey as looking at, first of all, Ivy League campuses, and it happened across the country here in Philadelphia, where I'm broadcasting from some of our Ivy League and premier schools. But take me through how that made you see party politics or partisan politics in probably a different way than you've ever seen before.
Yeah, so like most American Jews, pre-October 7th, of course, the largest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust, I considered myself a progressive. I was someone who marched with Black Lives Matter. I was someone who marched at the Supreme Court when Roe v. Wade was overturned. I'm someone who, as you said, voted for Bernie Sanders. I was a registered Democrat since the day I turned 18. And as a student at Harvard, on October 7th, to see those same individuals who I marched with, to see my progressive allies, those who introduce themselves with preferred gender pronouns, those who create safe spaces on campus, those who take knees for Black lives. They look at the rape of Jewish women. They look at the beheading of Jewish civilians and the kidnapping of Jewish babies, and they applaud it and they celebrate it. And this is not the progressivism that I signed up for. This is certainly not the Democratic Party that I recognize, because, of course, these are all Democratic voters. So I spent about 10 months trying in a personal capacity to get the Democratic Party to take the issues of anti-Semitism seriously, to take the issues of students at our most elite and allegedly respected institutions like Harvard, like MIT, like Columbia, where students are burning the American flag, where they're calling for the death of the United States and the death of Israel, where they celebrate terrorism like Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis. And the Democratic Party, much to my shock, much to my anger and disappointment, have refused for the better part of a year to take this issue seriously. And look, I've given them loyalty. I've only voted for Democrats, but if Jewish Americans really want to show that they are politically influential, then we would take our loyalties elsewhere. And President Trump has earned every Jewish American vote. This is someone who has met with Jewish Americans and Jewish students consistently. This is someone who stood up to Iran and its Iranian proxies. This is someone who achieved regional peace with the Abraham Accords. And I am confident that with him back in power, Jewish Americans will be protected once again. And I'm incredibly proud to support him. Do I agree with him on all policies? No, of course not. But do I think that he has our interests at heart? Yes, of course.
Here in Philadelphia and some of our college campuses, the protests, the anti-Israel protesters, they have been seen within the last week. Four were arrested. And also, I saw that I believe you had put out on social media something entitled Mayhem at Harvard about masked thugs smashing windows on campus. And so for you, this is not a past issue of what happened. What I sense from you is that this is an issue where you feel that it's a safety priority because it's ongoing.
Absolutely. You know, I think people make the mistake of looking at the crisis on campus and thinking, well, it's an issue of free speech. But when you have, as you just pointed out, when you have masked thugs 2 nights ago at Harvard University take hammers and smash windows and pour fake blood all over the campus, when you have at Columbia University students who take over university buildings, take maintenance workers hostages, call for armed violence in the streets of the United States, then it doesn't even become a Jewish or anti-Semitism issue. It becomes an issue that affects each and every American citizen. And look, I have bad news for the American people, rightly or wrongly. In 10, 20 years, my classmates, those at Harvard, those at Columbia, those at the University of Pennsylvania, they unfortunately will wield a disproportionate amount of power. They will be our elected officials. They will be our judges. They will be our policymakers. They will be the authors of the books our kids read. And if these classmates, the ones who are calling for the destruction of the United States, who are calling for armed violence, if they are our leaders, then we are in a serious crisis point in this country. And to see a lack of response from the current Biden-Harris administration, to see them not take this issue seriously, it's shocking. I mean, I just don't understand it. And again, the point I want to drive home is it doesn't really just have to do with Jewish Americans. It doesn't really just have to do with the state of Israel. It has to do with the attacks on our Western civilization, on our liberal democracy, and on our American values. I mean, this is physical violence that is happening on an almost daily basis on America's most elite college campuses.
And part of this is, and I'm embarrassed to say, I did not realize, you know, zooming out, the magnitude of what was really going on. I think it was an attorney I was talking to about a similar suit, much like yours with Harvard, with a Jewish student, a female, here in Pennsylvania, not in Philadelphia, but where there are attorneys representing some of these students who've been victimized by some of these groups, and all the research that I recently found talking about the link between the country of Qatar, some people say Qatar or Qatar, but the institutions that have been funded here in the United States of America to the tune of $13 billion in funding from these very wealthy foreign sources. And that this is not just, oh, it's a bunch of kids who are ill-informed, that there's something behind it that goes back many years. And is that something that you became aware of that is part of why you are speaking out?
100%. And what you're saying is not conspiratorial. It's not speculative. In fact, Biden's own National Security Council about 2 months ago released a report, and it showed as fact that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps is funding many of the anti-American protests, both on college campuses and on our streets. As a fact, again, not speculative, anti-democratic, anti-Western, and anti-Semitic countries like Qatar, Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, they have been funneling billions of dollars into our institutions of higher learning for decades now. In fact, you know, I encourage your listeners, they could just Google Harvard University Qatar donation, because in 2003, a Jewish student at Harvard Divinity School found that the Harvard Divinity School, which teaches religion and morality and ethics, received a $3 million donation from a Qatari think tank that advocated for the murder of American troops in Iraq, that advocated that Jews were behind 9/11, and it took this one brave student, Rachel Fish, to uncover it. But Harvard, they willingly accepted the money, and this is close to 2 decades ago. So we can only imagine how much more money they've taken from hostile nations that don't share our American values. So there is a bill already that is on the Senate, waiting for a Senate vote, the Deterrent Act. There is a bill waiting for a Senate vote, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. These are bills that would directly alleviate the concerns of Jewish American students and would regulate the flow of foreign funding into our universities. Unfortunately, the Senate Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has refused to allow either of these bills to go to a floor vote. So again, I'm a Democrat. Chuck Schumer is obviously a Democrat. But why in the world is he holding up these two pieces of legislation? And his office won't give us answers. He's not particularly concerned about the issue. So I can't understand why Jewish Americans will not call out our own party and say this is unacceptable. So that has really influenced my ideological evolution to support someone like Trump, who has been very clear that not only will we regulate and stop the flow of foreign funding into our universities, but we will finally enforce the laws already on the books that, for example, say if you're a foreign student on a foreign student visa and you violate American law, you will be deported. And that has been American law for 50 years, but it just hasn't been enforced under the Biden-Harris administration. And President Trump has said very clearly that on day one, we will finally enforce the policies already on the books.
So we're continuing the conversation with Shavis Kestenbaum, who's a grad of Harvard, now suing Harvard. But where do you go next? I mean, has this inspired you to change your career path? You know, I think of somebody like Riley Gaines, who was a dental student. And you know what I mean? And I'm meeting all these different people who in college, something happened, COVID, and then the world order changed and is in this upside down land that we live in. But, you know, what's next for you in your journey?
Right. Well, I definitely I appreciate the comparison to Riley Gaines. That's a new one for me. I'll say that, you know, the first step is really working for the next 30 days to make sure that President Trump is back in the White House. You know, I'm doing what I can to speak with members of the Jewish community, really in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Arizona, these crucial swing states. And then, of course, there's the lawsuits. You know, that's certainly where a lot of my attention is being driven towards. We want to make sure that this not only is successful in court, but this sends a very powerful message and sets a legal precedent. Long term, I do think I can see myself in the political arena. I don't know what that looks like just yet, but I think there is a need for young people to speak up and to speak the truth. And I'm very privileged and honored that I have been able to do that for the last couple of months, or at least I think I've been doing that the last couple of months. And I'm incredibly appreciative of all of the support that not only that I've received, but that young students who've been horrified to see the pro-terrorist sympathies of their classmates and have been horrified to see this illiberalism on our college campuses. We're so privileged that the American people are with us, that they support us, that they welcome us. And, you know, I'll close by saying a quick anecdote. After my speech at the Republican convention, it took me about 2 hours to get back to my seat because the amount of people who came up to me and just hugged me or just said, you know, we're praying for the hostages, or we stand with Jewish Americans, or we stand with the state of Israel. I mean, it was breathtaking, and it was such a remarkable moment of clarity for me as to what makes this country so great. And I'm going to keep fighting for this country. I'm going to keep fighting for my community. And I hope to hear some good news this November.
Yeah, we all do. Shavis Kestenbaum, thank you for joining me. I know you spent October 7th on the commemoration, the one-year commemoration of that deadly terrorist attack on so many innocent civilians with Donald J. Trump for a day of prayer. Can you share a story of what that meant for you on October 7th?
Sure. So that was a very powerful, meaningful, and moving day. We were joined by President Trump at the resting place of Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, an influential 20th century rabbi. And I was there together with American families of hostages who are still being held by Hamas in Gaza. I was there together with Auschwitz survivors, and the president took time to speak with each and every one of us. He spent time to tell the hostage families that your son is coming back, and you know, we stand with you 100%. He told me that you got to keep fighting them, referring to those on college campuses. He gave us strength and inspiration, and it was deeply meaningful. And you know, I'll sort of end on a bit of a sad note, which is Kamala Harris and Tim Walz were invited to do the same, to offer prayers in a non-political setting to be with the Jewish community. And they both declined. The campaign refused to meet with us. And I think if any Jewish American is listening to this, I think the choice couldn't be more clear. I mean, this is someone who not only met with the Jewish community the morning of October 7th, but then he flew from New York back to Miami to do another event with the Jewish community to commemorate October 7th. I mean, this is something that clearly shook him to his core.
Yeah.
And where was Kamala Harris and Tim Walz that day? So I know Kamala Harris was planting a tree, but I don't see how that really helps us.
Yeah.
So.
Good old pomegranate tree.
Yeah.
Great shovel work, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, we can't thank you enough for your time. You've been gracious, and we'll follow you, certainly, and follow your career and continue just to pray for the truth and for our country to heal from all this.
And Shabbos, I just want to put it out there. If you ever want a platform, please feel free to reach out. Or if any of the families of the hostages, survivors, they want to platform.
I love electrics.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we would love to. We would love to hear from them as well. So just putting that out there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both. I do appreciate it. And we'll be in touch. God bless.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.